This episode of the podcast is brought to you by M&M Video Games,
a great local chain of retro video game store here in Pinellas County. My favorite location personally is the new Pinellas Park location.
Right, and there they have roughly 7,000 unique game titles in stock, a bunch of consoles, accessories, and even have a consignment section for all the really hard collectible finds.
They buy, sell, trade. If you have old games collecting dust that you don't know what to do with, they'll take them for cash or in-store credit.
And that's a little bit different than your usual box store gaming stores where they only give you store credit or an exchange of games. They are an easy one-stop shop for all gamers of all ages.
They also have their arcade will be reopening in July and restarting their weekly tournaments called Saturday Night Slam.
You can check them out online at mandmvideogames.com for their online store and news. And now, on with the podcast. Check 1 2. Check 1 2. All right.
This sucks.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Or not. Or we're gonna have to send this fucking recorder back. Hi, everybody. My name is Luke Bad News Burton.
I'm Psycho Steve Fury.
And this is Wrestleology, where we explain. I can't even. I'm so fucking irritated. God damn it. So, you know what the fucking podcast is about. We explain wrestling's present by looking at wrestling's past. This is our third time trying to do this because our recorder is deciding that the SD card is hard to read and it's been shutting off and on. And now I just have this irritated energy and we have to talk about professional wrestling because it's what we do on this podcast. And there is so much to talk about, and
we don't know if we have enough
time. I don't know if we have enough time, so we're just going to have to get our shit in, so whatever. Either way, I'm going to be less irritated right now because we're talking about professional wrestling, and I love professional wrestling, and there has been so much going on with professional wrestling, and I'm going to feel like a broken record saying that there are so many releases over in WWE, such as Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman, and then we had 12 NXT talent that just got released. Steve.
I don't know anymore, man. I don't even know where they're going or what they're doing. It's ridiculous. I do know that Jim Cornette,
oh my God,
actually had something nice to say.
About what?
He thanked Tony Khan for the words, the beautiful words, quote unquote, they said about Bobby Eaton.
Okay.
That was it. But it was something nice about AEW that came out of Jim Cornette's mouth.
Interesting. What did he just said thank you for the nice words about Bobby Eaton?
Yep, pretty much.
Interesting. How is that sabbatical from listening to Jim Cornette talk?
It's weird. I don't know how to take it. Hearing him say something fucking nice is wild.
Especially after you took a little bit of a break from him and be like, oh yeah, I just need a little bit of a break from this negativity that's going on.
So much negativity.
I know, man. And speaking of negative things, what is your take on all of these releases? Because we've talked about it before, and especially with the takes that we've done before.
Three times now.
They're about to sell.
They're going
to
sell.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of when.
And who.
And who's going to buy it.
So let's go down the list of possible suitors, right? NBC Universal is number one, right? Has to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Here's a little something that I just thought of just by searching the web. It didn't pop up, but just seeing their logo. What if YouTube bought it? That would be fucking nuts. I don't think they will.
But what does Google have to gain from that? Because they get so much other content from everything else.
They would have the rights to a $1 billion company.
Okay.
Not that they aren't a $1 billion company themselves.
And not that they need it, but they could have something to where they can archive it. There's a couple of things that I find to be interesting about that. One, you get rid of two of your top merchandise sellers in essentially one of the biggest times for them to come back, which would be when the live crowds come back, right?
Yes.
You get rid of these 12 NXT talent, and I get it. They're trying to get younger again, and they're trying to make their developmental system an actual developmental system again, which totally makes sense because they're trying to make a bunch of Roman Reigns's, John Cena's, Brock Lesnar's, Batista's, Randy Orton's, right?
Yeah, they made John Cena, right?
They did make John Cena. John Cena I think that he worked like a couple of indie events beforehand, but never anything super substantial, right? He never was like an indie darling.
Yeah.
Right? Neither was Batista. Batista started when he was 35.
I'm hearing all this, man. Diamond Dallas Page started at 35 too. There's a chance,
especially after you and I, especially after you and I went to that Tampa Bay Pro wrestling show.
Man, I love those guys.
I love them. They're trying really hard.
Weezy's the best.
No,
dude, Weezy is the best. That
girl was the best.
Oh, Perez?
Yeah. What was her name?
I can't remember. I know it's something Perez. She was on AEW Dark.
I'm convinced that she orchestrated that whole match. Because the match was so fast-paced. They cut the ring off so well.
Yeah.
And they did such a good job doing a hot tag, except for at the end when they missed the hot tag twice.
I think that's that girl's second match.
Really?
Yeah, I think she debuted at Bash at
Bash at the Beefs.
But my dude's financially stable.
Oh man, I just my missed thing.
Missed them in the Battle Royal, man. They were sitting with the crowd for a good 20 minutes.
There was a guy in that Battle Royal, and I think that we'll move off of this because I don't want to shit on local indie professional wrestling, because that's how you get started. What they're doing is very difficult, and they're risking their lives at the end of the day, and they're doing a lot more than what me and Steve are doing, which is heckling them on a podcast or in the bleachers. We're not that lady, though.
Oh my god.
That lady's a fucking nightmare.
That lady is garbage. I can't believe somebody had sex with her and she has a child.
I'm not touching the next comment that I wants to come out of my mouth. This guy had
you could tell that he used to be like very large.
A lot bigger.
Yeah.
You remember Robert Paulson from Fight Club?
Yes. Oh, you mean Meatloaf? That was Meatloaf.
Now I have bitch tits.
That was Meatloaf.
This dude, I felt bad for him because he chose the wrong outfit to wear. If he had just worn like a compression shirt that was like cut off at the neck, like a turtleneck, but he had the singlet tucked into long tight, like into long baggy pants. You could tell that this dude used to be way bigger and way much more overweight. He
was a good worker, though.
He was a good worker, and he had a solid chop.
Oh, yeah, he did.
However, every time that this dude would move around, like any type of like left to right movement or any like significantly jarring movement,
he had a wardrobe malfunction.
Like a legit truffle shuffle would happen. And it was just so funny because his tits would like bounce in and out of his singlet without him adjusting.
Poor guy. And then his fucking manager.
Oh my god. Are you talking about the
so there was Ali Muhammad. Guy named Ali Muhammad that came out. He was entering the ring and his manager was like a Bible thumping southern preacher.
Like a preacher.
And he screams out, "Check his green card."
And we just hear Steve right next to us say, "Jesus Christ!"
I uncontrollably said "Jesus Christ" so loud. I'm just thinking, how the fuck did they get away with saying that?
I mean, that's his gimmick, is that he's...
Jesus Christ!
I still can't believe that you stayed there for an hour and a half to watch that battle royale.
I had nothing else to do.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah. That's very valid. So, speaking
of... I feel bad because I feel like I made Eric stay because he was my ride. Because I didn't want to ride the motorcycle. So I was like, "Eric, do you want to drive me?"
He was all about it. I mean, he won't join us in this podcast, but he was all about it.
Yeah, way to go, Eric.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for really letting us down. But either way, what do you make of this situation, since we're going to act like we've never talked about this before, about Adam Cole and Pete Dunne's contracts running out? So this is the thing that bothers me, right? You're trying to sell this billion-dollar wrestling empire, and your books aren't well kept to the point where you're letting your talents, contracts, especially top guys like Adam Cole. He's by far the most popular guy on NXT, right?
Yeah.
Like, no discussion. Pete Dunne is probably the best worker on NXT, right?
Well, that's why they moved him from NXT UK to
NXT.
NXT.
It bothers me because how do you mismanage that situation to the point where if no one says anything, and if either one of those guys was like, "No, I'm just not going to work out.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna extend my contract so that you guys can finish your storylines up."
I will say that if Cole doesn't, it will probably be so much easier on his relationship.
They live in Orlando, though.
I know. I want to go to her dental office, but she's not accepting new patients.
You just want to mark out? That's what you want to do?
I was just going to say, I'm like, would it make me 100% mark if I got an appointment with her?
It would make you 200% mark. It would make you double the amount of mark that you are now.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. She would take one look at that Vader tattoo and be like, "This fucking guy."
I'd be like, "Wrestling? Who is Vader? What is going on?" Speaking of Vader, side note, I just bought another Vader action figure.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like one of the Legends ones. He comes with this giant black helmet and has like four different heads.
So is it one of the Hall of Fame ones?
I think so.
Nice.
It's out of the package, unfortunately.
Got it. Do you remember, they used to do these ones where they weren't even action figures, they are action figures, but you couldn't like move them. They had like a piece of the ring and they would stand in the ring and it was more so kind of like a monument.
That's like the Retro Fest or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I had one with Eddie Guerrero where he was like, it was like a memorial to him.
Did he have the Latino New World Order shirt on or whatever?
Didn't. No. He had the one where he was like Scarface.
Oh, okay.
Where it was like a Scarface one. It was nice.
Latino heat.
I cried when he died.
He was a good wrestler.
He was a really good wrestler. When he beat Brock Lesnar, that was one of the... Like, I remember watching that No Way Out pay-per-view and hearing Michael Cole scream, "Cover him, Eddie! Cover him!
One, two, much.
He was so much better with Taz on commentary where he could be, like, the legitimate play-by-play. Yeah. He's not a bad commentator. He's just a robot in the WWE machine.
That's because he has fucking Vince's wiener all up in his mouth.
And to be fair, Vince does pay well.
True.
Yeah.
So.
I heard his cum tastes like...
I was waiting to see where you're going with that, but it just...
Your face right there.
It just didn't get any better. It just didn't get any better. It just kept getting worse and worse. What I was going to say... We were talking about releases. We should be coming up on Buddy Murphy's 90-day or 60-day soon.
Yeah. And where do you see him? Because
he's teased that he's going to AEW. And Brian Cage has even put out some tweets like this. What is it? Everyone talking about the match that could be made after WWE releases. I'm over here just wanting Del Sol, Lee, and End. I don't know what that means, but I mean, if he's talking about my boy Fuego del Sol, sorry. And was trying to be semi-discreet or use low-key names. Come on, I'm talking about my buddy. So he's wanting a match with Buddy Murphy. Brian Cage and Buddy Murphy, I think, would be a good match.
I think that that would be a good match. I also am not super keen on Brian Cage's style of wrestling.
He's a big guy. Do big guy moves.
Yeah.
Stop he's, trying to do fucking hurricanranas and...
I get it, because you're so big, but I don't... The thing that I don't like in professional wrestling is how it's no longer... It doesn't look like it's a work shoot, right? It looks like it's a complete choreographed work. Some people can pull it off, like Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay and Ricochet. Those two guys should choreograph most of their matches because they do flips.
And
do
it's flips, believable.
And it's believable because they're doing flips.
You know the who flips aren't believable. Stop doing flips?
Who?
Jack Evans.
Mm. Jack Evans should just stop wrestling.
Yeah.
I but that's agree. Besides the point. I would really like to see Buddy Murphy in New Japan.
That's a good opportunity. Yeah, I think that's a good...
I think that that's a good move because you see him and he is barely a heavyweight.
Yeah.
He could wrestle either... He could cut weight and wrestle in the junior heavyweight division. He can be in a tag team with another big guy and wrestle as like the... Like he sets pace.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just running around. He could wrestle in the heavyweight division and do a similar role to Will Ospreay. He has the... amount of athleticism that Will Ospreay has. Like, he can do all the same shit.
His run with Seth Rollins was so good.
And bad at the same time.
Even though they fucking just treated him like shit under Seth Rollins.
They just do such a bad job of managing talent at WWE.
If you're a top guy, you're a top guy. Anybody else below it, you're getting fucking a big old dump taken on you.
I just don't understand it at the end of the day. You know, you have all these talent, and I'm not even saying to push them all, right? You have 3 hours of television on Monday. You have 2 hours of television on Friday. You can't have compelling storylines with how big your roster is.
They also have main event that's on Peacock, and, you know.
And that's what, an hour?
Yeah.
Like, you have... You have four wrestling shows. You have four wrestling shows.
And they're doing live shows again.
They're doing house shows?
Yeah.
They have four wrestling shows. Four televised wrestling shows a week.
I just read that John Cena gave a compliment to Sami Zayn and Finn Balor at a house show in Fort Myers about how it was an incredible match.
I don't get it. I don't understand. We've seen it over the course, I can't speak for you, I've seen it for the past 10 years.
Yeah.
And how anybody besides John Cena, The New Day, The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, Triple H.
Hell, even Shawn Michaels.
They have severely fumbled on every opportunity to make a new star. Like, they fucked up Kofi's run. Like, they could have made Kofi into a top star. They had this great match with him at WrestleMania, and then his run was terrible.
Yeah.
They could have put the belt on Shinsuke Nakamura at, I believe it was SummerSlam, when he faced Jinder Mahal.
That pissed me off so much. How do you take a top guy out of Japan?
A dude that's been wrestling main event quality matches for 10 fucking years.
And you make him a fucking mid-carder.
And you job him out to a guy who has 6 moves.
Which one?
Jinder Mahal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking Jinder Mahal. It's because he fucking got roided out and he's like, oh, Vince is gonna love me now.
Nah, man, it's all about his diet. He got his diet right.
Don't defend him.
Hey.
He's roided out.
Hey, huh? He got his diet right.
His diet includes steroids.
Do you know who he beat for the heavyweight championship? You remember?
I want to say
it was Randy Orton. He beat Randy Orton for the WWE heavyweight championship.
I was so mad about that I just literally turned
it
off.
What part of it were you mad about? So just to give context to everybody that doesn't know what we're talking about, Jinder Mahal for the past, 7 years prior to this was nothing more
than a fucking jobber.
An enhancement talent. He was actually in a clique that was called 3MB, which was with Drew McIntyre. I wanted to say Galloway. But Drew McIntyre and Heath Slater, and all they did was job to people.
Yep.
He comes back after an injury where he comes back in phenomenal shape.
Looks like a fucking monster.
Looks like a monster. And they didn't do a subtle, slow build. In his second match back, he wins a six-pack challenge to earn a number one contender championship opportunity against Randy Orton.
You know what I think of that?
What do you think of that?
That was my thumbs down. Thanks. Speaking of things that are really funny.
Okay.
Go ahead and finish that. I got what I want to say up next, so go ahead.
I'm done. I'm done.
Jinder Mahal's a joke. This is even wilder. So, Sunny, you remember Sunny.
Oh, I do. You mean the woman that cheated on her husband with Playgirl Shawn Michaels?
Yeah. She has an OnlyFans.
Yeah, most expensive OnlyFans.
It's like $30 a month. And I'm pretty sure she was in prison, but I can't remember for what.
Can you look that up with your robot brain?
Oh, I can, because there's a link in my robot brain.
Did you ever see her porno?
No. She was in prison for violating a domestic restraining order.
Against who?
I don't know. Eluding a police officer and operating a vehicle with a suspended license.
Hmm. Interesting.
Good for her.
Bad girl.
Bad girl looking old.
Yeah. She was the most downloaded woman on the internet.
She looks like she wears so much makeup. I mean, alright. Go for it, girl.
Hey.
You trying to show your vagina to a bunch of people for $30 a month? Go for it.
I mean, Bad Barbie, she made $1 million in a day once she turned 18.
I hate her so much. But she has 648 medias already on there. That's all it says.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I mean, you're the one that has an OnlyFans.
I do not have an OnlyFans.
You totally do. You're subscribed to her.
I'm on the website, bitch. I do not have an OnlyFans. Don't even try to get me in trouble, motherfucker.
Dude, you're looking at pictures of Tammy Stitch's booty hole over there.
I just found out that was her real name.
From when I just said that?
Yeah. Oh, we can look at her Amazon wish list.
Yeah. What does it say? Does she want a new toaster oven?
No. She wants a Tag Heuer women's watch that's worth $3,000.
Not expensive enough.
Some pillows. A lot of pillows, actually. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
What are we fucking doing right now?
She wants bath towels.
Jesus Christ. We're going to move on to the next topic.
There's another Tag Heuer for $4,000.
Damn it. Why are we talking about this?
She wants a 1-carat solitary diamond pendant necklace for $1,800. I'm just telling you what's on.
I fucking hate you.
I'm just telling you what's on her wish list, man.
I hate you right now. Oh, my God.
Don't forget about the Amazon gift card for $2,000.
So, speaking of my wish list for professional wrestling, sick transition right there. How about CM Punk and Daniel Bryan going over to AEW unofficially?
So,
did you see that? Here's how I know it's going to fucking happen. Jim Ross, on his Cooking with JR with Conrad Thompson, the title is, would CM Punk make a difference if he went to AEW? Everybody in AEW was talking about it in a hypothetical situation. Everybody's leading into it.
Darby Allin called him out.
The fact that the Elite come out, Kenny Omega's wearing a Cookie Monster t-shirt, which if you don't know, and you haven't watched professional wrestling in the last 10 years, CM Punk, which that's one of the things that he said that his name meant, CM is Cookie Monster.
Yeah.
They are alluding to Bray Wyatt with the Young Bucks dressing up in two different, like, floral pattern, like, Hawaiian shirts.
You had Luke Gallows dressed up as Ric Flair.
And then you had Machine Gun Carl Anderson in the Bollywood Boys t-shirt. What a crazy time for us to be wrestling fans so right now, man.
Two theories. I kind of texted you one. It was, what if CM Punk comes, he loses, he beats Omega for the title, Hangman Page takes the title from CM, and then Omega's like, I want my title back, you never beat me. That's like so far-fetched. Tight. I like that bass. All about that bass. That bass.
No trouble.
Or what if Adam Cole comes in and he's helping Hangman Page?
Do you know what I think's going to happen? I think what...
Bullet Club versus the Elite?
What I would really like is if we could just rewind the story back to last week and have Adam Page beat the Elite and then get screwed out of the championship match by CM Punk that comes out when everything, like, the arena goes black. They're like, oh, we're having a technical difficulty. All of a sudden, you see Adam Page on CM Punk's shoulders, hits the go to sleep. Place goes buck wild.
No, I want to see CM Punk's entrance. I want to see that fucking clobbering time, checking the time. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And they sold out the United Center.
I sent you the picture. I sent you the ticket prices for the resales, didn't I?
For Rampage?
No.
No, you sent me the ones for All Out. And it's like $350 for the nosebleeds.
$3,000 for
a floor seat.
Dude.
It's crazy. It's the highest it's the highest ticket resale price in professional wrestling history.
Because everybody thought that CM Punk's coming out then.
Well, if he doesn't come out then and he wrestles on the show, it's still going to be worth it.
Oh, yeah.
So who would you want to see CM Punk wrestle?
I can tell you who I don't really care to see him wrestle is Darby Allin.
Really? Why?
I don't feel like Darby Allin needs it.
But I don't think that it's about that. I think it's about, you know, you're having one of your top young stars wrestle him.
Jungle
right?
Boy. I'll take Jungle Boy over Darby Allin.
Yeah, but Jungle Boy can't cut a promo.
He's got Christian Cage for that.
What are you talking about? You know what's better than good? Elite. Yeah. That was a pretty good promo.
It was.
It was a really good promo. I will say this, is that the more that I realize, like when I hear Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross talk, because they're past their prime. They're like way past their prime. I love Jim Ross. I love Tony Schiavone.
Tony Schiavone just needs to stop. I watched something the other day and he called
He's it. Better than Taz. Because Taz half the time just sounds like he doesn't give a fuck. Because
he probably doesn't.
Have you remember, like, at the beginning of Dark when it was just like him and Excalibur? And yeah. They would just like be making jokes back and forth to one another. Not about the wrestling at all in the ring. Excalibur's trying to be like, he's trying to play it straight and be professional. Yeah. And Taz is just like, oh, yeah. Oh, something about my daughter? Oh, yeah. No, I didn't realize I had a daughter. Something like that.
Oh, man.
He's trying to play a heel, but he's doing a bad job doing
it. He's just trying to make jokes the whole time.
The whole time.
Because I bet you they didn't expect anybody to watch.
No, of course not. Especially during the pandemic era, where there's no fans there, and it's basically just an empty arena event. with indie wrestlers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, their lower card guys.
I liked watching it because we would see a lot of indie wrestlers that we know around the area.
Yeah, of course. Like Sage Scott.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure he has to be on some kind of contract with him, because I've seen him recently on
he could be paid per appearance. Probably what it is, because he still works a lot of the indie events around here in Florida.
That's true.
And he's an amazing high flyer.
Oh, he's good.
Like, you remember when he did that moonsault?
At Retro Rat?
Yeah, really he got good. So fucking high, man. So fucking high. Me too. Yeah. Tight. So we have SummerSlam upcoming, which is John Cena versus Roman Reigns.
Can we talk about that contract signing? That's not how contracts work.
So if you don't know what happened, John Cena, so Roman Reigns is supposed to be having this contract signing with Finn Balor, right? And they... It's so fucking laughable. So they have the table set up. And by the way, I hate that they play to the hard cam, right? Like, in WWE, they don't act like it's an actual fight. They stand, like, shoulder to shoulder, and they are, like, looking at each other, but they have their bodies faced to the hard cam like it's a fucking theater.
Yeah. It makes absolutely no sense.
That's not the way that you do it. That's not how you play to a camera. There, you have cameras literally all around the ring. Why do you have to play to the hard cam? Why can't you just use the one that's right in front of you? Because what the fuck is happening?
Stupid.
I don't understand it.
They're stupid.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Anyways, so they have Roman Reigns, which is... It was great. I didn't notice it at the time, but I'm noticing it now. He was at the head of the table.
Yeah.
Which is great. They had Finn Balor, which was sitting super close to him. They were like, they could have held hands.
Well, maybe they were going to.
But here's what we're getting at, is that Roman Reigns signs the contract first, which never happens. The champion never signs the contract first in those signings. Finn Balor says that he was going to take that title back to NXT and be the new WWE champion. Baron Corbin comes out, jumps him.
Which is not believable that Baron Corbin's going to beat Finn Balor.
No. Well, I mean, in a real-life fight, yeah. Because Baron Corbin is...
Like a Golden Glove boxer.
Yeah, and a former NFL offensive lineman.
Yeah.
He's also 6'8".
Yeah, he would...
He's a big boy.
Snap
Finn Balor. He signs the contract. He tries to sign the contract. John Cena comes out, runs down the ring. By the way, doesn't look graceful. Very unathletic, very muscle bound, comes in, gives Baron an attitude adjustment, or an FU, if you want to call it that, pulls out a blue Sharpie, and in handwriting that looks similar to a 5-year-old, writes in block letters his last name, and then signs on the actual, like, written contract, the actual typing of the contract.
Not where your signature goes.
No, on the actual contract. And you just see Roman Reigns, by the way, his facial expressions are unbelievable.
Roman sells the fuck out of that gimmick. He sells the
fuck out of it, man. And he's finally in his element, where he's the coolest guy in the room, right?
He should have been a heel from the start.
5 years ago. He should have been a heel 5 years ago.
But Vince was like, no, you're going to be a superhero. He doesn't really sound like that.
It's such good shit.
I hate it.
And so we're going to have John Cena versus Roman Reigns at SummerSlam for the Universal Championship.
Have they ever wrestled each other?
Yes. They wrestled each other at Backlash. Remember when he tore Roman Reigns to pieces? Like, in promos?
Oh, well, yeah. John Cena's really good on the mic.
Of course he is. In addition to that, we have Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley.
Oh, Goldberg's going to do his 3 moves and then probably squash Lashley.
I hope not. Bobby Lashley has been he's been pleasant to watch.
I agree with you.
He's a great heel. heavyweight champion.
Yes.
Because he's believable. And also this gimmick where, like, where he kind of has come out from behind MVP,
mm-hmm.
where, like, MVP was like, oh, this is all the stuff that we're going to do. Like, we got to do this, blah, blah, blah. We're going to have girls. We're going to have this. We're going to party. And then Lashley comes out and he's like, we need to stop this shit now. We're getting soft. You're getting soft. We got to get hard.
Same.
We got to get so hard.
Same.
And beat both Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, squashed them in order to put himself over.
If they're going to continue with Bobby Lashley being this monster heel, he's got to squash Goldberg. But you and I both know that's going to happen because Goldberg is
so protected. How would you book that? How would you book Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg? Tell you how I would do it.
So the way that I think they would do it. Well, no, this is how I would do it. I wouldn't fucking give a shit about if Goldberg's protected or not. Comes in the ring. Does a couple moves. You give Goldberg his spot. Not really a squash, but then Bobby Lashley gets that full Nelson
thingy. The Hurt Lock.
Yeah, the Hurt Lock.
Do you know how I do it?
How?
I have Bobby Lashley spear Goldberg. I literally have Bobby Lashley do to Goldberg what Goldberg did to Brock Lesnar. And then what you do after that, then you set up the Mania match between Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar. Because I would pay money to see that match.
Yeah.
That match is box office. Yeah, because that is.
I wonder if that's what they're building to.
They should. Because if you think about it, Bobby Lashley, have you ever watched Bobby Lashley's, like, fighting? Like, have you ever watched his MMA career?
Yeah, he's good.
He's legitimately good.
He's terrifying.
That's a believable match. You don't know who's going to win that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who's going to win that. You think it's going to be Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar's protected, and so is Goldberg. That's the problem.
Yeah, but they're protecting Bobby Lashley. Like, Bobby Lashley is being pushed super hard, and he's being pushed. He has a rocket to his back. And to be fair, the dude looks like $1 million. He looks like a world heavyweight professional wrestling champion.
How would you book Roman versus Bobby? That's a hard one.
I don't.
Yeah, that's hard.
I don't. I would not book that match.
Because Clash of Champions is coming up in...
I would not book that match.
I think July. No, when is Clash of Champions?
I would have... If I was booking that match and it was a Champions versus Champions match, right?
Yeah.
I book...
Or Bobby, is it Survivor Series when they do... I think it's
Team Survivor. Versus Team.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's if in November. If I was them, I would do it to where it's a screwy finish, where it's like multiple run-ins, where you have... Were you watching like Itchy and Scratchy or something like that?
So Google has like a video game thing as their logo, and I just clicked on it.
And it played it?
Yeah, and I was like, oh... no. I'll watch it later.
What I would do is I would do a bunch of run-ins. Like, do the ref bump where the referee gets knocked out. Bobby pins Roman without a ref there to count.
Yeah.
Usos come out, beat up Lashley. MVP comes out, takes them both on. He gets thrown out. Bobby throws out the last Uso, turns around, gets speared by Roman. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, so screwy finish.
Screwy finish, but you have the picture of Bobby Lashley pinning Roman Reigns.
And then you also have the picture of Roman spearing Lashley.
Yes. Yeah, spear versus spear.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. Like, that is totally... But like, and those two guys, they could put on a main event WWE wrestling match.
Yes.
That is for sure. And I think what you do going forward, because I think that they missed the boat on Drew McIntyre. I don't think that they missed the boat on him, but I don't think that he's not the guy that's going to carry them.
Well,
I do believe that he
did carry the company through the pandemic.
Yeah, but he's not.
It's unfortunately there's always going to be an asterisk next to his championship reign.
I don't. That's bullshit though, because he can legitimately talk and. he's kind of subject to this bullshit WWE booking, right? Because he comes out, he's swinging a fucking sword at guys that have chairs in their hands.
He's a fucking psychopath.
He's a psychopath. He's the Scottish psychopath.
Yeah, they should have stuck with him as a heel.
He's a good face, but what WWE does is they put guys in positions where they cannot get over because they have to say these dumb ass things. Right? Like,
I hate it so much.
Like Apollo Crews, before he turned heel, he wasn't a cool dude. He had no personality.
No, now he has a cool weapon.
Yeah. And he also, like, that is a cool entrance.
I haven't seen his entrance.
Dude, his backdrop is basically like the stairs to a kingdom.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then you know how they have like the augmented reality?
Yeah.
And it's just all those spears like lined up along the entranceway.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's sick. Like, and he looks like $1 million too.
Yeah, he's just, if he was a little bit taller.
He's 6'2", though.
No way.
He's 6'2".
I'm calling bullshit. Apollo Crews.
He might be 5'10".
Yeah.
He might be billed at 6'2". No
way. He is 6'2". I'm calling bullshit.
All
right. Right now.
All
right.
Look it up.
He's 6'1", and he looks
like
he's 5'9".
Wow. I win.
He does not look 6'1". That's bullshit. They're making up now. WWE got onto their wiki and changed the height.
All right. So, just as a heads up, everybody, I think that we are going to wrap this heads up episode up. We're going to be at the Ocala Comic Con.
That's September 11th and...
12th.
12th.
We will be having a booth, and we will actually be holding a video game tournament. We will be having a No Mercy tournament.
That's right.
The winner of that tournament gets some swag from us, a couple stickers.
And a Nintendo 64 with a wrestling game. Not No Mercy, but...
WrestleMania 2000?
Or maybe some W... Or maybe all three. Maybe WCW versus NWO, or... Revenge? Maybe just give you all three. Say fuck it.
Yeah, might as well. I mean, winner take all.
Yeah.
And we will be there for the 2 days. We will be with our shining and bright smiley faces. Steve's going to talk to everybody that comes up to the booth.
That's a bold-faced lie. I may talk to a couple people.
I will talk to everybody that comes up to the booth.
If you're a cute boy, come and talk to me.
Hmm. Well, on that note, my name is Luke Bad News Burton, and that was sensual Stephen Fury. And this is the Wrestleology Podcast. You can catch us at Wrestleology Podcast on Instagram, _ Wrestleology Podcast on Twitter, Facebook for the Wrestleology Podcast, and you can email us any ideas that you have for any storylines that you would like for us to go into. I'm really excited to talk about the Mega Powers with our next episode.
That was this episode, but there was just so much going on that we had
to break this up.
Yeah.
But you can also email us at WrestleologyPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you guys for listening, and we look forward to talking to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Booyah. Peace. Bye.